He's a chain breaker. Amen. How many can testify this evening? That's nothing but the truth. Amen. To whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Amen. How many are free tonight? Amen. He's a chain breaker. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you happy?
Yes.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. So we thank our brother Deli once again for faithfully bringing the spiritual food in due season this morning. How many were blessed this morning?
Yes.
Amen. It was just, I was really enjoying myself, and I'm sure you were too. And as it's nothing. This isn't a statement about other. Every local church is sovereign, so they do things as they feel led to do. So, I don't generally get up and make comments after the minister preaches because they've already brought the word,
right?
And I don't need to polish it or add to it or we just ruminated on it throughout the afternoon and enjoyed it very much. But now we're ready for round two.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe that the Lord has more for us here tonight. By the way, Brother Deli's wife, her name is Sister Sharon. So Sister Baker and I got our wires crossed again. I'm sure that never happens to any of you, but somehow I asked her to remind me if she knew what her name was, and she answered me so quickly I was suspicious. You know, it's like, wow, that was pretty quick. Wow, your mind's not fading as quick as mine. That was pretty fast. We share brain cells, right? Except when we grow up on Mount Lemmon on an empty tank of gas. You know, we need to borrow your brain cells, I guess. But wonderful thoughts this morning. The title of the message was The Secret Place of the Most High. And my mind was just going 15 different ways, as well as the intended ways, because that's just as our brother, I'm sure he preached a little series on it at home, but as he brought out this morning, it's all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And it'll be in eternity too. There'll always be a secret place. Amen. And so I mentioned to him at lunch today, you know, there are certain things that will, so all of it will stick with you and you're feeding on it, but there are certain things that will, you can remember it in a certain way, right? And so I was thinking this morning or this afternoon, self-pity doesn't originate from that secret place, right? He said it in other words, but he said it that very same thing, right? So if you're feeding on self-pity or feeding self-pity, just remember there's a secret place that you could be in. And there's no reason for self-pity, right? It's a wonderful place no matter what's going on. It's a place that's prepared for you, a secret place. I don't want to add to anything that was brought this morning because, like I said, it was a full 7-course meal, wonderful. But I was reminded of Psalm chapter 27, verse 5, where David said, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock." I believe he set us upon a rock in this hour, don't you? He's set us upon the open book, the revealed word. Amen. And it's the safest place to be, and it's also a secret place. And as our brother pointed out this morning, you know, the thing about God is that he'll place secret places in plain view, right? And you either have eyes to see it or you don't. You know, God hides in plain view, right? And when he reveals himself to you, you think, my goodness, you were there all along. Why couldn't I see you, right? It causes you to really appreciate having eyes to see, right? And it is so simple. It's not something you have to strain at. How many have seen those pictures where you look at them and they don't make much sense and, you know, it's just some kind of a blurry thing, and they say if you stare it up long enough, and actually what you do is you let your eyes relax. You try not to focus your eyes, and then all of a sudden something, you know, you'll see the number 7 or something will jump out, right? Well, the message is not like that, right? We don't need to cross our fingers, click our heels, spin around in circles. And, we don't need to look cross-eyed at things. We don't need brother so-and-so to come and explain something because he's the only one that can explain it. When God shows it to you, it's so simple. You marvel. You marvel at the simplicity. And you're just convinced that when you show it to somebody else that they'll see it, right? Because how could you not see it? But that's what it means to see. And this is for, you know, God has set this up. He's not trying to hide anything from his children, right? We're just living in the time when it's time to make certain things known that it would have been harmful to make it known sooner, right? But now it's the right time to make it known. So once it's made known, it's no longer a mystery. So if when the service closes, it's more mysterious than it was before, well, you might want to go back and study that a little more, right? But this morning was certainly, you know, everybody should be able to say amen to what you heard and to feast upon it. Anyway, we're ready for round 2 here tonight. And as you know, we try to set aside a Sunday evening service once a month that's geared more towards the young people. We're all young people, right? And, you know, I didn't want to put any pressure on our brother, kind of letting him know it at short notice. But I said, you know, if there's something on your heart that you want to share with our young people, we would normally do that this time of the month. And if not, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. So I believe he has something for our young people and for the rest of us too. Amen. Amen. I'd tell you to stand, but you already are standing. So you beat me to it. Amen. As our brother comes this evening, I need you, Lord. How many needs him tonight? Amen. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Amen. And so I lift my head. Bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. With all your heart, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Amen. And so we lift our hands.
God of miracles, we thank you once again this evening for another privilege to come to your presence. We thought that the ravens fed Elijah in the morning and in the evening, and we are back in your house to be fed again. Please come by, break the bread of life for us in your own manner. Lord, that the eyes of our understanding will be illuminated. And Lord, by the power of your revelation, we shall become light-footed to go forth and declare the testimony that indeed you are alive, you are not dead. Bless the waiting hearts of your children, especially the young people. May you speak something to their hearts that, Lord, will connect with your seed in them and bring them to the realization of who they are, that they might live for you. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Bless our praise offering. Bless our worship. Accept our person also. Let nothing, O God, stand between our soul and the Savior. Come by and do those things that you are known for, so much that when the service will be over, we would have cause to give you praise. We'll give you glory. Be with us now, and be with other places where your children may be gathered also tonight. And we ask, O God, for souls that may still be coming on the way, that you bring them safely among us. We'll be careful to return thanksgiving when the service shall be over. Make it possible in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless you, saints. God bless you, saints. Aha, that sounds better. It shouldn't get common to us. God bless you. When we say it, we mean it all the time. Amen. And the prophet said it's the greatest thing you can offer any man. So anytime we offer it to one another, let's remember to receive it. And then we receive it by our amen. God bless you. Yeah. So I don't keep you standing. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 15. For a background for my admonition to the young people tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11 and to 24. And I will also read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Amen. 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 And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. Once again, I would like to thank God for making it possible for me to be with the believers in this part of the world at this time. And I want to sincerely thank our dear pastor here and his dear wife for their warm welcome, their cares, their reception. I do not have an opportunity to go around your houses for tea, for dinner, for lunch. But I want to tell you that they represented you very, very well. Their cares have given me an estimation of what it will be all in your houses. So I want to appreciate them and ask that the Lord bless them richly and bless the church also very richly. Keep you all safe in the hollow of his arms and keep us healthy serving the Lord and prepare us for his coming. I do not have any doubt in my heart that we are going to meet again. Amen. Amen. Because we are related. So till then, may the Lord keep you healthy, settled, established, prosperous, and grant all that your soul will wish for till we meet again. Amen. God bless you. All right. Tonight, if the Lord will be our help, which I trust he will, for my young friends, I want to speak on just a small admonition that I called Lessons from a Prodigal. Lessons from a Prodigal. Amen. Now, if you look at the scripture that we read, this scripture, even though was speaking about two sons, it looks like a parable, but it is the story of our lives, every one of us here, both young and old, both children and parents. Amen. And I want us to know that our story in Christ, or relative to redemption, did not start with our fallen condition. That's the first point I want us to notice here. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, a certain father had two sons. They were first sons before one became prodigal. Are you here? So when mama and papa bring you to church, their aim is for you to meet the God they met, so that you can connect with your eternal origin. Are you with me? You were born different. You are a special class of people. And if you ask me why, the prophet said, because you are our children. So it's a blessing to be the children of the children of God. Amen. But because God himself does not have grandchildren, he wants to offer you the same blessings. Amen. He offered your parents on the same basis. So the story of your life never started on this earth. That is the first thing I want you to know. You started in the mind of God. Amen. And by this, you were not an accidental birth. You were ordained to be here. And nothing could have stopped your coming. Forgive me, parents, even if you thought that this conception that we had at this time was a mistake. That is you thinking as a man. Amen. No matter how much a mistake you thought it was, God ordained that mistake to happen. And no amount of attempt you could do to make sure it goes back that will take it back. Because these children have a purpose to serve. and the purpose of God can never be defeated. Are you here? So I'm trying to establish that your coming is not accidental, is not by chance. It was foreordained in the thought of God. If you were never in the mind of God, you couldn't be here tonight. Part of that thought of God is to make you come through the family, through the houses you came. And I want you to appreciate that. Amen. Now, what were you in the thought of God? God in his thought of you to be his own son and his own daughter. That was why when you came here tonight, as in every night, in fact, some of you have been attending services before you were born. While you were in the womb, you were brought to service. Amen. Sometimes you hear the song of the church and you were kicking in your mom. You were rejoicing for joy. You've been attending service before your physical manifestation. All because you were in the thought of God, ordained to this salvation. So I'm bringing that for you to know that your journey never started on earth. It started in the mind of God. And in that mind, God concluded that you will be his son, you will be his daughter. And nothing can change that. Not even you. Are you with me? So he said, a father has two sons. They were sons first, connected to the father, living with the father until something happened. Now, what happened? When you were to be expressed on this earth, you were expressed in a manner that was permissive to God, not perfect in his mind. And this is where the problem began. Our natural birth was, I'm sure over time, the pastor will explain it to you. You know, we can't finish everything tonight, but I will drop some assignments for him by what I'm saying. So, pastor, please take note, forgive me. Amen. Yeah, because some of these things need to be broken down into particles. But I will just gloss over them tonight. The way you were born, amen, as nice as it was, in the most beautiful hospital, was permissive. It wasn't God's perfect desire for us to come that way. Now, the reasons for that I will leave tonight. The pastor, if you remind him, he will tell you why. Okay? But it wasn't God's perfect will. Amen. It was what Satan suggested before God revealed his own plan to our first parents. Amen. And they took that suggestion ahead of God's own plan. Amen. So that birth offered Satan an opportunity to also inject his nature into mankind. It affected your parents, so it's going to affect you also. So when you were born by natural birth, even though you came as a pure thought of God, you got imposed with an element that wasn't godly. And that is why the Bible said we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But we were not thought of in sin. God's thinking of us wasn't sinful. It was our birth that was sinful. And the prophet said, by that natural birth, in the message Thinking Man's Filter, he said, it gave us no chance when we were expressed on the earth. Because the first thing that manifests in us are the symptoms of that imposed nature. But what I'm to remind you tonight is that that isn't your real you. Your real you was what God thought of. Your fake you was what Satan imposed by your natural birth. Amen. So you have two contradictions now living in you. So it becomes a crisis. And that is the reason you now need to be reborn. Your new birth, your being reborn, is to do what? Is to free yourself from the influence of that negative life, that imposed nature. Amen. It's got to be destroyed completely in you, so that your real you, what God thought of, could start manifesting. So, and this was what happened to the prodigal, to the son we are looking at this day. Remember, there were two of them. One stood as he should stand. Amen. But the other is the one that defined redemption to us. The younger one. The younger one, even though born as a son, in other words, conceived in God's mind as a son. But by the time he was expressing himself, the forces of the natural nature took over. And he began to have some ideas and said, Father, give me my own inheritance. He wanted gift when he should have everything. You understand? Tonight I want you to know that when you receive the life of God, you have all. Amen. That is what you should look for. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And its righteousness. Amen. Then all other things shall be added. Amen. This boy wanted the addition and not the main thing. Don't make that mistake. This is why I read the other scripture for you that said, remember now thy creator. Remember, this young boy, so to say, if we can call him like that, never started having ideas when he was so small. It was when he felt like he's a grown man. In your growth in life, you will come to a point of self-discovery naturally. Amen? And this is why your prophet said your delicate years comes when you are picking up at your teenage life. Because you are at the break or make point. Brother Bram called it, the prophet called it your changing spot. Amen? Where you begin to have an ear of self-sufficiency, independence. How many of you had once told your parents, look, I know what I'm doing. The moment you start saying that, I want you to understand, you actually don't know what you are doing. It's only a weak defense that you are now trying to put off. Because ordinarily, I know what I'm doing wouldn't have come off if the parents are not trying to guide you right. Amen. You understand? So it's a defense to protect whatever you are doing. Amen. If you know what you are doing, the parents will not be warning you at that point. Be careful. It is mostly when they begin to warn you and want you to be, you know, to be straightforward, to be properly guided in life. That's when you start saying, please don't bother me. I know what I'm doing. And I'm saying tonight, if you actually knew what you were doing, they wouldn't be talking to you at that time. So when you have an itch to think like that, know that from that moment, you don't know what you are doing again. You need help. And you must admit it to yourself. That is why God gave you godly Christian parents. Because right around that age, amen, if you don't get it correct, if you don't get it right, you may miss it all for all time. If you are a child of God, let me say something. You can't be lost. But life is going to get tougher for you. Amen. The prophet said God has many options. And the easiest option is what we are offering ourselves tonight. If Christ had made a thanksgiving over you, that you are his own. You know he made a thanksgiving in the Bible. He said, Father, I thank you because all you give me, I lose none. Except the son of perdition, that he might go to his own place. So if you are among those whom he has offered such a thanksgiving on their behalf, remember, he cannot take back his word. So if you refuse to mind him gently, he has other options. Because at the end of the day, the will of the Lord will be done regardless. If you don't want to accept his choice easily, you will accept it very tough. God will be hard on you. God will be mean on you. But guess what? It's not for death. It's for a change. He can lay you on a bed of sickness until you call for daddy and say, I want to give my life now. He can make you a failure for a long time and live a life of frustration until you find your way back to God. But you see, there are easy options. Just accept him tonight if you haven't accepted him, and the business is done. Because God will get you regardless. So this young fellow come to a point of self-discovery. Jesus, our Lord, didn't tell us his age, but he came to a point that he felt he knew what he was doing. And he said, give me my substance, give me my inheritance. I want to go my own way. And the father divided the portions, meaning that the elder son had his own, the younger had his own. But the elder son never left his father. And because he never left his father, he had his inheritance intact and possibly growing. If you don't leave the father, you are going to be all right. You are going to be well there, because it's the foundation for lasting achievement. It's the foundation, it's the source of lasting success. This is why I wanted you to have the kingdom first before you have any gift. He can bless you in every way that you want. He can give you a wisdom, an intelligence for an invention, for a discovery that nobody had ever seen. It's like God to do it. It's not too much for him to do it. He can make you excel in your career. You can be the best in your academic. Yeah, you can be the best in anything you want to do in life. He can do it. But he wants you to do one thing first. Seek my kingdom. Give me your heart. He wants to remove that imposed nature. He wants his own nature to be growing. And guess what? If you understand this as a secret, if you are able to give that a chance, the prophet said, everything you need and all you will ever need is inside that life, even to your rapture. When you grow old enough to get married, your good wife is inside there. Your good husband is in there. Just keep feeding it with the right water of the word and allow the seeds to be growing. At every stage in life, it will keep pushing out a blessing. It will keep pushing out a goodness. Amen. Because all you need is in you when you receive the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Isn't that a beautiful package? If I have the Holy Spirit, I have everything. If this young man understood that, he will not be looking for gifts when he has the giver. He wanted to dissociate, distance himself from the giver, thinking that he can survive by gifts alone. You won't survive by your money alone. You can survive by any achievement. You need God. The rich young ruler, how many remember his story? Rich, young, ruler. What a credential. Very rich, very young, and on top of it, a ruler. All your rich men in this country, after they became rich, what do they want? Power. Is that right? Is that right? And they will spare no cost to get power. You saw your last election. Monies were spent because power was at stake. And some people spared no money. There was a man giving out $1 million in a strategic location because they wanted the power to go to certain place. So meaning that after money comes power. But this young guy got it. Rich, young, ruler. And let me add something to you, to it for you, religious. He was a church boy. Amen. Right from his youth. He's been brought to church. Amen. And you know what? Maybe if he were here tonight, he might even have a better credential than some of us, because he imbibed every church values. He will sit quietly in the church. He will hear the word. He will try to be nice to neighbors, polite to somebody out there, was just following. But despite all these wonderful credentials, this guy has one thing, has one void in his heart. He knew there was still a space that his money couldn't fill, that his bloom as a young man couldn't fill, that his wealth couldn't fill, that his power couldn't fill, even his religion couldn't fill it. You need more than religion tonight. Mama will bring you to church. Amen. That is the best she can do for you. But then you must accept the God of the church. So that you can, from being a church member of Love Divine Fellowship, join the mystical body of Christ.
Amen.
Are you here? All right. So rich young ruler, religious. With all those, he had a void, he had a space in his heart that nothing could satisfy. So he went about still as an unsatisfied man. What does that tell you, my brother, my sister? That our physical success does not give lasting, eternal satisfaction. This was what that boy that we have read about tonight didn't know. He thought that by the time he got his own inheritance, he will have some fantastic ideas. I will go to Chicago. I will get this, get my house, get some business, do this, do that, and I'm fine. Then I'll come back and tell people I have arrived. He thought that was it. But he missed the main thing. When you disconnect from the main thing, you are plotting yourself for a failure. Maybe at this point we can read a little quotation. Amen. If you don't mind. Is that okay? All right. If you can give us the prodigal 50-0827A, 50-0827A. We will take it in turns. Paragraph 22. Prodigal, paragraph 22. Okay, let me start reading from here. He said, look at this prodigal this afternoon. Where he was, worst place for an Hebrew there could be is a pig pen. Notice, look at the drama now. There's an old-fashioned country home. Let's just fix it in our minds for a moment. I can see living there a lovely old couple, worked hard all their lives and had two sons. Of course, the son always fall heir to the inheritance. And then this younger son, perhaps, let's say they went to church every Sunday and they loved God and they served God with all their hearts. But one day, this younger son, let's say he will start going out with a group that he had no business going to. Amen. I'll come to that. Listen, young man, here this afternoon, young lady, just as soon as you get out from under Christian influence, you are in bad hands. Amen. You are on your road back right then. Remember that. Just as soon as you get from under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I don't care who the boy is or who the girl is, if they are not saved, keep away from them. Okay, I will come to that quote. I want it, if they can get it, let them put it on the board for us and keep it there. But what I want to bring out from there is that this young boy did not appreciate the power of the Christian influence that he was under. And the moment he disconnected from it, amen, he lost all, even though he thought he had many things. Sin will take you farther than you are prepared to go. Let me tell you, you are only better off, and it's not because I come to church. Amen. You are only better off in the house of God. You are only better off under a Christian influence. No matter what happened, don't get away from it. I will show you things that lure you out of that influence. So you will see the picture of the prodigal son very well. What led him to asking for his inheritance? He didn't just come to ask for it. It was an influence. He began to look at people. He began to look at things around him. He began to look at friends around him. And because he suffered an identity crisis, not knowing who he was, not appreciating the fact that those people he was looking at did not have the privilege that he had. It's a great privilege to be raised in a Christian home. Are you with me, brethren? Even though whatever is in a man will come out. Are you following? But if you are raised in a Christian home, you will be better managed for salvation. Because you will be kept in the right environment. That boy will have been safer staying with the father than leaving the father. He wasn't yet ripe to do that. The prophet said, your parents are under charge of God to keep you under the Holy Spirit until you are old enough to make decisions yourself. So they are bringing you to church. It's not imposing, you know, a struggle, a life on you. It's trying to make it easy for you to access salvation. The prophet said they've got four things to do in your life. They've got to live a life worthy before you. You've got to see the right thing. They've got to pray for you. They've got to spare a moment to talk to you. They've got to keep the home environment right. If they do those four things, bringing you to the house of the Lord to connect with salvation, amen? If they do those things, the prophet said they should leave the rest in the hands of God. Amen? So if your parents are doing that, treasure it and enjoy it. Take advantage and capitalize on it. This was what that prodigal son did not understand. Don't forget, we are taking lessons from his life. Amen. He didn't understand that he wanted to leave. Not knowing that leaving the father at the time he left will disconnect him from a resource base where he's tapping strength and protection. He got all his gifts truly, but he never had the giver. You need the giver first. The rich young ruler, lack of the giver is what created a void in his heart. Remember, he kept running about until one day he found our Lord and our Savior. Maybe tonight you will find him. But don't do what he did. Amen. When he came to the Savior, he said, what must I do to have eternal life? He was rich, yet without eternal life. He was young, yet without eternal life. He was a ruler, yet without eternal life. He was religious, yet without eternal life. So those things don't mean eternal life. Of all you're getting, get eternal life first. When eternal life takes a hold, then every other achievement makes sense. At least we can learn from that guy. Amen. And he was offered eternal life. The prophet said, what God connect, God told him, he said, you go, you know what the law says, go keep the law. And he said, look, from my youth upward, when I was a little child, I have kept everything. Do you know he was telling the truth? Because when the all-seeing eye of God looked into his life to confirm what he said it was the truth. The all-seeing eye of God saw only one thing left. I don't know if that eye is looking into our lives tonight, how many things he's going to see? You get what I'm saying? How many things is he going to see? But for this rich young ruler, he saw only one thing. He saw that he worshipped his money. That was the only thing he saw. He was above board in every other thing. But on that money aspect, he can't joke with it. He placed even money before God. He worships that. And God said, no, you cannot serve me and this together. Amen. To have me is to be ready to leave this. Yours snare may not be money. Some of you, it might be lies. Amen. Some of you, you can fill in the gaps. You know your life. Amen. But whatever it is that stands between you and God is what God wants you to give up tonight. But he knows also you cannot overcome by yourself. He just needed your confession. A broken and a contrite spirit. A ready heart of repentance. He said, I will not despise. If you are ready in your heart to give it up, he is ready in his own power to take it from you.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight? So this was what this young man never knew. And the Bible said, he left from under that Christian influence. Why did he leave? Because many things that were not real were attracting him. There are a lot of influences on the earth. But I want you to know that whatever influences you, it's either as an origin, either in God or in the devil.
That's right. That's the truth.
There is an influence that comes from under, and there is one that comes from above. Brother Bram said the layers of satanic influence start from souls that are in prison now.
Right.
Are you with me? Is this still okay? Souls that are in prison now. The reason he preached that message, souls that are in prison now, was because of his own experience at the age of 14. How many are 14 tonight? How many are God bless you, you are 14? Who else is 14? God bless you. God bless you. Who is older than 14? Many of you. God bless you. Who is younger than 14? God bless you too. Amen. Now, at the age of 14, imagine, picture it. The prophet suffered an accidental gunshot and he passed out because he lost much blood before help could come. And when he passed out, God used it as an opportunity to show him how he will end up if he never accepts Christ. And it's the same way you and I will end up if we never accept Christ, if we don't accept him. Beginning from tonight. So he saw himself traveling down a downward slope.
Right.
Amen? And by the time he was hitting its bottom, he was hearing mournful sounds, scary sounds.
Right.
Sounds of pain, of people who were in pains, deep pains.
Right.
And by the time they became visible, they looked very scary. Some of the things the prophet saw at that time has not been taking place yet on the earth. He saw people with a painted face, you know, like cat-like, with their cat-like glasses, and so many things, you know, horrible things. They haven't been on the earth at that time. So for the first time, he saw things that were horrible. And he said, I cried for mama, there was nobody like mama there. I cried for papa, nobody to act like papa there. It was so horrible. Such a nightmare, such a scary horror, until he said, you wouldn't even wish an enemy to go to such a place. When he came out of it, when he escaped it, he said, God, he said, you do all you can never to go to that region of the lost. So I'm pleading with you also tonight, do all you can never to go to that region. Now, that was when he was 14 years old. And life continued. He came to the saving grace of Christ. He became a preacher. And he started serving the Lord. Then 40 years later, at the age of 54, he went with his wife to J.C. Penney's stores. How many know J.C. Penney's? You've gone to one before? Amen. I don't know which one it was. Maybe around Indiana or maybe around here. It was here. Praise the Lord. Jesse Penney was here. Amen. And while he was in there, you know, the wife was getting things, buying things and so forth. And he was waiting on the wife to finish. All of a sudden, for the first time on the earth, he saw those things he saw 40 years ago. Right on the earth. The prophets got lost, got out of his mind. Thinking that he was back into that horrible hell again. And he ran out, remembering that his wife was there. He ran in and fetched his wife. He said, Mother, let us leave. He became sick all in one moment.
Right.
And Sister Mida, the wife, was asking, what is the problem? And he had to explain. He said, you know the experience I had 40 years ago? It's back on the earth. The things I saw then, I'm seeing it now. To show to you that what the things that influences or the things that influence us on the earth are not just earthly. They have a spiritual connection. Brother Bram said you are either being influenced from up or from under. He said you are a human, you are a creation of influence. You have the power to influence others, and you also have the ability to be influenced. Amen. Your influence comes from five senses, but it goes beyond five senses. Even your spiritual sense, even the one in your soul. Are you following? So for the first time, he saw those things. So when you see yourself dressing in one way, acting one way, doing things in one way, it's an influence. Everybody is an agent of influence. So don't just get carried away. If they think it is cool, you must tell yourself it's not cool until I establish it by the word. And if it's not clear to you, God gave you a shepherd. Even the things you don't want to tell your parents, you come tell pastor. Because God put him there, and the prophet said, if he's a God called man, how many believe our pastor is a God called man? Do you know what the word says? He is ordained to see you through. Don't say I'm too young to walk over to the pastor. You are old enough, brother. You are old enough, sister. Walk over to the pastor. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm struggling with. Are you with me? And the pastor is not going to fight. He's going to accommodate you. You heard him say, right? He's going to support you. That is why he's there. The church of God is an inn. It's an hospital. That is why the owner of the hospital is called the great physician. Are you with me? Who are the people that come to hospital? Sick people. They come for treatment. If you see an healthy person in the hospital, he comes for checkup or to visit the sick. So hospital is meant for all of us. If you are sick, come to church. Amen. Spiritually sick, come. Sin sick, come. Amen. Even physically sick, come. And if you are healthy, come. If we are not treating you, we are maintaining your health. We are helping you we are doing a checkup for you to be sure everything is right. Because the word of God is a mirror for everybody to look at ourselves. Apostle Paul said, if we examine ourselves, we will not be judged. So whatever your state is, you need the church. You need Christ. You need the right atmosphere. So don't be afraid to come. And you know what? In this hospital, God has put an innkeeper here. That is what the Lord himself said. He had paid him in advance. So you don't have to pay. He gave him 2 pence or $2. Amen. It can be $2 million. Amen. It can be $200,000. He gave him the word and the spirit. Amen. For him to use to treat you. Amen. And the Lord told him, if he need any more thing, he is ready to supply. But it's been in advance, it's been given the word and the spirit to offer you treatment. Amen. So you have your health insurance intact. You come tap into it. What am I trying to show you? Influence is the things that lure you away from your safety zone are not altogether physical. They have a spiritual power. So you are either being influenced by the devil or by God. When you move from the layer of souls that are in prison now, you go to the realm of demons. When you leave the realm of demons, you go to the abode of Satan himself. Amen. And if your influence is coming from upward, spirit of just men, the realms of the Holy Spirit, amen, the angels and God himself, all these different dimensions has power over lives that are on earth. These were the powers that were disturbing this young man, and he feels like he too wants to belong. Don't forget we are in Satan's Eden, right? And in the Eden of Satan, sin looks glamorous, is made attractive and presentable.
Whereas righteousness, virtue, is made to look like a reproach.
That's right.
Amen. So if you don't want to do the things like they do, if you don't want to keep boyfriends like they keep, they make you look reproachful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you mustn't look reproachful. You must tell them that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. And let me tell you, in the heart of their hearts, they want to be like you. Oh, that is the truth. You ask your friends honest questions, even though you are living right. Say, don't you want to be like me? You hear what they will tell you if they want to speak the truth. But they just couldn't be. Because they don't have the privilege you have. Right now, today, your parents brought you to church, or at least encouraged you to come, and you came. But they are somewhere in the bar rooms now. Amen. Feeding the flesh. They don't know where they come from. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they are going. It's a complete life of misery. Amen. They drink themselves to stupor in the hope that they will forget their sorrows. But after the influence of the alcohol wears out, they come back to the same sorrow. But if you want peace, joy, you need Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the offering Christ is giving you tonight. Now, the prophet said, this young man, the reason he wanted is because he started moving with people that he's not supposed to be with. Did you hear me? Don't move with people that you are not supposed to be with. People with negative energies. The only thing they talk about is vulgar things. Is their immoral escapades. You don't need such people. They rather need you for salvation. If they are ready. You don't need them for anything. You get it? You can live without them. It's only Christ you cannot live without. So don't ever have a feeling that your life is not complete if you don't move with them. And because the young man began little compromises, you know what he did? He would say, okay, I don't want to hurt my friends. They want to be at the bar this evening. I will just go with them. I won't drink beer. I will take coke.
Preach, brother, come on.
It's there in the quotations. I will take coke. You are leaving your God-given ground.
Right.
Let me tell you something you must realize tonight. In the process of not wanting to hurt people, somebody will get hurt at the end of the day. If you are not hurting your friends, you might be hurting Christ. So you must choose your heart tonight. Which one is easier or better for you to hurt? Amen. Because somebody must be hurt. If Christ doesn't want you in that environment, and your friends want you in such environment, you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. Make the choice that will secure your future. Because the prodigal son, this young man tonight, made a choice to go with his friends. He said, I will just go in them. Let them drink their beer. Let them take their wine and everything. I won't do more than a coke. And I'll come back and cross my heart before my parents and testify, I only drank coke. But you know what? You're on the wrong ground. The prophet said the wisdom of God is not in how close you get to sin and not commit sin. But the wisdom of God is in how far and how fast you shun sin appearance. There was a man one day who wanted to go on a high mountain with a narrow road that does not have bars. You know, it's so narrow that if you are not careful, you fall over the cliff, you are finished. So he got to the first rider or driver, said, I want to get up there. Like maybe let's say you are going to Mount Lemmon and you don't have this, you know, modern road. You just have a narrow strip that has no bars on its edge. You understand that, you know, any slight mistake gets you over the cliff and you start falling. And the first driver said, you know what? I can get you to the top of Mount Lemmon. I can drive real rough and fast. I can even drive few inch by the edge of the cliff and not fall over the cliff. The man said, really? Thank you. Excuse me, I'm coming. He went to the next person. The next person said, If that guy can do 4 inches and not fall over the cliff, I can do 2 inches. And they were expecting that man to be impressed. I will get 2 inches away from the cliff and I'll give you a good ride to the top without falling. The man said, really? It's getting daring. Thank you, I'm coming. Then he went to one man, the driver who was standing aloof, as if he's not interested in any passenger. And when he went to that fellow, he said, I need somebody to get me on top of Mount Lemon. He said, I can do it, but you know what? I'm not as daring and expert like those guys. They will get you there, as they said, 4 inches, 2 inches. He said, but for me, I like to go far away from the edge of the cliff and mind the way I'm climbing to get you there safe, if you don't mind. The man said, you are the one that will drive me to the... He said, because it is not in how close you get to the edge and not fall, but it's in how far away you can avoid the edge and maintain your safety till you get there. Because you are not going to impress Satan or God. Are you following? That shows it's not in how close you get to sin. You have no business in the barroom. You have no business in certain places. Even in some birthday parties, you have no business in there. Once you watch the construction of it, and it will vex your soul more than it makes you happy, avoid it.
Wow.
Amen. You know, God anticipated all this. That was why before you came, he instructed your parents. If you watch in the first Exodus, before the children came, God was telling the parents that it shall come to a time that your children will say, why don't we do this? Or why don't we do like this? He said, tell them the Lord thy God has forbidden you. God has anticipated your coming and has offered your parents the right curriculum to bring you up so that you can be his masterpieces on the earth. Let me tell you, Satan is as much interested in you as God is interested in you. Is that strange to you? God is interested in you for you to, for salvation, for redemption, to reveal you as his body. But Satan is interested in you to destroy you. Look at in the first Exodus, when they were about to leave, Israel was about to leave Egypt, the bargain began. Pharaoh started asking, who are the people that will go and worship the Lord? What is his business? All God said is, let my people go. My people means my people. Young, old, children, weak, strong, everybody. But Pharaoh said, he said, you know what? You people can go, but leave your children. Is it because he's interested in the well-being of the children? No. The prophet said, the devil likes to destroy a revival before it starts. He understood the concept that if he allowed the children to go, the revival will continue because it will be passed down from generation to generation. And the devil did not want continuity. So he wanted to block that revival by destroying the children. That is why he's interested in you. So anytime he offers you a package, don't believe it. It's aimed at your destruction. And you must refuse to be destroyed. This was a lesson that boy didn't understand. He fell for it and he took all his substance and he left. The Bible said when he left, because he didn't have the giver to help him operate his gift, he wasted them. He wasted them. That's the prodigal element. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Don't hinder your own purpose.
Amen.
You are not here for nothing. You are here for a purpose.
Amen.
You cannot create a purpose for yourself. Listen to me. That is why you cannot say, this is my life. I have a right to live it as I want. Oh, poor you. That's not right. Did you create yourself? Thank you. You didn't. Did you bring yourself here? Somebody is responsible. The one who brought you here, who created you, has a reason for doing it. He wanted you to feel a need. Look at those cars that we drive, right? Did they make themselves? A manufacturer made it. He realized that we need something to help people to move from one location to the other. Is that right? It was that need, that purpose that invented the vehicle. You get it? So now, all the vehicle does is to realize its purpose by the use of the owner. So when you come here, you can create a purpose for your life. The one who created you is the one who knows the purpose you are brought to serve. So that is why you wouldn't see it in the language of the prophet to say, define for yourself a purpose. You hardly will see it. It will tell you if you can find your purpose. You must discover why you are here. And the primary reason of your being here is to be the expression of God. Amen. As the son of God. Amen. As the daughter of God. Amen. Once you find that, every other thing God wants you to do, wow, in order to facilitate that expression, God will reveal it to you. If he wants you to be a farmer, that is why you will take it as a challenge to be a Christian farmer. Not just any other Arizona farmer. A Christian Arizona farmer. Amen. Because you've discovered your purpose.
Amen.
So don't waste your time. This young man wasted his time. All his friends enjoyed the money, the gift, the resources with him. Amen. But when the whole thing finished, let me tell you, there will be a time of famine by and by. Life will not always continue like this. Amen? At some time, you were not as old as you were now, right? You were younger, isn't it? Now you are this. In another few years from now, some of you will become wives, husbands, fathers, mothers. That is life. Life is only, you know, made happy by its progress. Once life loses progress, there's no more happiness to life. That is why if you give birth to a baby today, the joy of that birth can only be sustained by growth. If after 3 years the baby remained as a baby, is not talking, is not toddling, is not standing, not sitting, not crawling, that thing of joy will become a thing of concern. Now I want you to know that in that growth comes the peak. You will come to such a stage that, you know, the Bible calls it the days of darkness. And they said there will be many. You will come to such a stage that you are losing strength. Because the life we have today, this natural life, has its expiry. No matter the quality of life you afforded yourself, you will come to a point that you are no longer going stronger. You start degenerating. Your papas and mamas can tell you that. It's a practical life science, no stories. Some of them were prettier, more beautiful than you were when they were your age. Sure, go look at their pictures, but right now, life has happened. And life will continue to happen. As it happened to them, it will happen to you. Because here we have no continuing city. This is why Christ demanded, God demanded for your youthful time. He said, remember now thy creator in the days of what? Thy youth. God does not want you when you have expired. He can save you then, but he needs your energy now. He needs your strength. He needs your scholarship. He needs your resources. He needs you to be available for his use. Because life at best is very brief. The best of your life peaks at 25. That's what the word says. Because between 0 to 25, you have 4 days of life complete. When you get from 25 to about 35 or 40, after 25, you lose one. From 26 to 40, you lose another one. This is why it will come to a point that this is the way your life is going, but it will come to a point it will peak. And when it peaks, the length of it is so short compared to the screwing down. If you are going to spend 90 years on earth, the best of your life is 25. So you have 65 years of struggle. May the Lord teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. What the prophet meant by that is that when you age 40, because you have lost your first ray at 25, you will not be as strong as you were when you were in the bracket of 0 to 25. Is that right? Then, in this country, they tell you at 45, they become more interested in your medical checkup. Because even nature, medicine is admitting that you are becoming very vulnerable. If you don't remember, the health insurance company will call you, remember to come and do your vitals and comprehensive checkup. They are not bothering you around 0 to 25. Why are they not bothering you? They are testifying to the fact that you are the best of your life. So when he says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, God wants your best form. Give him your best form. Commit it to his hand as an investment. Oh, you will never regret it. When you eat 60, you lose another ray. Some of you are living on your last ray tonight. You drive better cars, you live in better homes, you eat better food, but you are not as strong as you were. You are getting weaker instead of getting stronger. That is all natural life can give unto you. Go and look at the billionaires in America who are old. I saw the picture of this man, what do they call him? Bill Gates. You know, attending a function, you couldn't even recognize him again. President Bill Clinton is not looking like he used to be, the vibrant man again. It's not going to happen just only to him. It's going to happen to everybody who carries this natural flesh. Because this one can be redeemed. But if you allow the part of you, amen, that is a part of God to come to life, amen, when this one gives way someday, that one will give you a better body. Amen. A body that cannot corrupt. Right. The best of our life is a negative. And it will take death or a body change to develop it to positive. Right. You must always think on that. Are you with me? So this guy ate his dark patch. He became broke. He had no money. And on top of it, there was famine. So he had a double combination of tragedy. And his life kept getting low and getting low. That will be the lot of everyone who rejected their visitation.
Wow, that's the truth. Amen.
There was the prophet told us of a Baptist pastor's daughter who had an opportunity to be saved. God has sent his messenger by the invitation of his dad to come and preach. And the Lord gave the prophet a good sermon to bring people to repentance. And you know what this young lady, who thought she had life, said after the service? Said, you know what, Mr. Preacher? My father didn't hire you. He used derogatory words to come and preach such kind of things. When you come here again, don't talk like that here. Brother Bram said, your father did not hire me. He invited me. He said, I don't care what it is. Don't just come and preach such tommy rot here again. We don't listen to that here. That was the day she missed her visitation. From that moment, she couldn't even retain, the testimony of a, even if not converted, of a nice girl. Everything about her changed in less than a year. Brother Bram saw her just around a year, and she was so much in a bad shape. Drug had eaten up her life until even her dresses couldn't stay on her body. Smoking, drinking, whiskey, flax, and all kind of evil had taken over her life because she rejected her visitation. And she was such in a bad spiritual shape until she was offering the prophet cigarette. And the prophet said, don't do that to a servant of God. If you could recognize me as the preacher that day, why are you offering me cigarette? They said, okay, I'm sorry. If you don't want cigarette, get my flask of whiskey and get some drink. And the prophet, you know, was bleeding in his heart for a pretty nice girl that has become a shadow of herself because she rejected her visitation. And you know what she said? She said, "Past preacher," he said, "you were right that night." He said, "That day I told you that, I missed it. And since then, life changed for me." He said, "Right now, I'm so numb and wicked. Until if I see the soul of my mama flying in a frying pan in hell, I will just be laughing at it. Because I missed my visitation." Don't let that be you. I'm not scaring you. I'm not trying to twist your hand. But I'm telling you reality. When a man disconnects from life, he misses it. When you go away from the influence of a Christian life, Christian home, Christian environment, you will lose it all. Right. No matter what is happening to you, stay in the church.
Amen.
Stay under the word. Stay in the right environment, in the right atmosphere. Amen. You know, if you isolate a coal from a bunch of coal burning, the moment you isolate it, that is the moment you kill it. But the death will manifest over time. When you take that coal out of the bunch, it will still be red hot like having fire, right? But watch it in a while. It won't be able to retain the fire. The fire will keep going down until it fully extinguishes. That is a man or a woman who lives from, who forsake the influence of a Christian life. If you have parents who gather you in the morning, have a family altar. Last thing in the evening, have a family altar. Treasure it. Amen. The homes of your friends may not be doing it. But that is God's formula for us. To retain our salvation. The word in the morning, the word in the evening. And personally, you must have moments of your own personal meditation. That is how to grow in the Lord. Those little words, those little lines. You say, "I struggle." Start with a verse. From a verse, it will become 10 verses. From 10 verses, it will become a chapter. From a chapter, it will become a book in a whole month. Or even in a week. Amen. It will mean a lot of shaking down. But you are going to make it. It became so down. So low until the last estate of the guy was to be struggling with the pigs for food. How many of you has ever been to a pig pen? You've been there. You know how it is. Even with the best sanitation, it still has its smell. You still have to, and you can't keep the pig in a too clean environment. It's against nature for them. You might even kill them earlier. So you must create those dirty, swampy environment for them to roll in, to have a feel that they are in their natural habitat. Now you imagine food in such environment. That was what the son of a rich man became. Sin will humiliate you. Sin will humiliate you. It will get you so messed up, so down, so dirty, so smutty. You don't want that, I believe. So you must shun its appearance. This guy got too low. And yet, the Bible said he got no help. Even those who have enjoyed his gift were not willing to help him. You see it? The ones you treasure above God will abandon you. Jesus is the only friend.
Amen.
Who does not abandon.
Amen.
There is no friend like the lowly Jesus.
Amen.
No, not one. Jesus knows all about your struggle. He will guide till the day is done.
Amen.
It's the only friend that sticks it closer, even than a brother.
Amen.
He is all you need in your life.
Amen.
Because every other will abandon you. Times will change. All may change, but Jesus never.
Amen.
Everybody abandoned this guy. Amen. Nobody minded him again. They went on with their lives. And they left him in his misery. But while there, This is the good news. As I close tonight, while there, one day, it began to come to self-realization. Because you see, that other seed wanted to come to life. The one conceived in the thought of God was ready to come to life. How many of you ever felt sometimes that I need more of God? Is that seed wanting to come to life? And you must give it a chance. Sometimes you come to church and you hear the sermon and you say, Lord, I got to do something about it today. Is that seed that wants to come to life? But you see, what kept you procrastinating, the prophet said, is a dark spirit that is hanging between you and salvation. It happens to everyone, not only you alone. Even the prophet said, what kept me from accepting Christ at that 14 was a dark spirit that was hanging between me, that was telling me not today, let it be tomorrow. And that tomorrow never came until it decided. Amen. You must take a decision. The Bible said, while it is yet called today, do not harden your heart. What you can do today, don't push it till tomorrow. God needs you now. That young man came to a realization. He said, wait a minute. What am I doing here? What brought me to this condition? You must have a moment of reflection. What good has all the words of God, the efforts of my parents, what good has it done to my life? The good it will do to your life is to accept God on a personal basis like they did. He said, he remembered those wonderful times he had with the dead. He even remembered how the servants, the workers of the dad, are living well and getting better deals than the condition he is now. And he said, no matter what happened, I'm going home. Ah, you must break that jinx one day. Whatever tells you not tonight, I will get saved by and by. You must stop him before he permanently stops you. So that you don't end up like that Baptist pastor's girl. You must stop him before he stops you. He said to her, I wouldn't mind the shame. I wouldn't mind the rebuke. I wouldn't mind what my papa is going to say. I will go there. Then he sat down, he worked out a plan. Listen to me. He said, when I get home, I'm going to tell my dad I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Give me a privilege to be one of your hired servants. A fallen son saw opportunity in being an hired servant. That was how low. Of course, being an hired servant looks like a promotion to him because he was already too low, too down. At least he will get better food to eat. He will get better accommodation than where he was. He wouldn't have to struggle with pigs again to get food. He considered that his best option. But you see, the important thing is you come on first. Let the Father decide on your proposal. Hallelujah!
Amen.
When he came home, before he had a chance to talk, for the fact that he came, was enough joy for the Father.
Amen.
If you find your way to Christ tonight, it's enough joy for him. Amen. Amen. It said, even heaven rejoice when a sinner comes back. Because birth, whether natural or spiritual, elicits joy.
Amen.
The Father didn't even allow him to say anything. He ran at the opportunity of seeing his son. That is how God gets excited about repentance.
Amen.
Repentance is very powerful.
Amen.
Shall I show you the power of repentance?
Amen.
The Bible described Ahab as the most wicked. It's in the Bible. It said, there is no man who sold his heart to do evil like Ahab did. It's in the Bible. But do you know one day when Ahab repented in the matter of Naboth? Go read it. God was so excited and happy God ran to the house of his prophet. He said, Elijah, come and see what I'm saying. Ahab repented. Because it doesn't look like what Ahab can ever do. But when he did, God was so happy. He said, for this that Ahab did, all the evil I wanted to do to him, I will postpone it. That's the power of repentance. Repentance doesn't make a shame. You must get it in your heart, beyond your head. It doesn't make a shame. Confession of wrongs doesn't make a shame. Amen. It actually raises your status in God's economy. It shows you as somebody who can be trusted. When a prophet repented, amen, even a lawyer said, I trust you more than before. Did you catch that? Amen. He said, Mr. Bram, I used to trust and respect you. He said, but even now, you have raised the bar for me. Raise the bar tonight by repenting.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what it is, confess it.
Amen.
When you hold it down, you protect the devil.
Wow.
When you expose him, you make him powerless.
Wow.
The only thing they think he has on you is the secret you both shared.
Wow.
But let me tell you, Satan is a betrayer. You think he's covering, he will cover for you. When it matters, he's going to expose you. He said, whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. Any attempt to cover sin does not prosper. That is what it means. Amen. But whosoever confesseth them shall obtain mercy. Get mercy tonight. Put the devil to shame. Tell him whatever you think you can hold on me, I've exposed it. Amen. If you want to tell my parents that I'm a thief, I've already told them I stole. Say something else, devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you repent, you make God happy.
Amen.
And that's all he needs from you. You can see that was all that boy had to do. The power to change his life belongs to the Father.
Amen.
And the Father will change his status. God didn't tell you to struggle to be a Christian. Nobody can be a Christian.
Right.
Said, when I tried my best and I did all I could to become a Christian and I became one, check his Christianity. Didn't actually become. You can make yourself. What God needs from you is simply repentance.
Amen.
When you repent, you offer him an opportunity to make you what he wants you to be. Your repentance is what is needed tonight, and your willingness to forsake. When you are ready to do that, he is ready to take it over from there.
Amen.
The power to live a holy life to quit sin comes from God.
Amen.
When you repent, he cleanses you. He strikes the seed that is in you.
Amen.
What makes you a son, what makes you a daughter that is already in you? That seed, that thought from the beginning.
Amen.
Amen. He strikes it to come to life.
Amen.
By bringing you to realization. What that brother, what that son received was a realization.
Amen.
I am not supposed to be here. This is where I'm supposed to be. And the power of realization made him get up. Make him denounce and defy shame and reproach. And he went to the Father. When he came home, the Father embraced him, welcomed him wholeheartedly. Before he could even say a word. Watch it. When he started speaking, Father, I am not worthy to be called your son again. That was where the Father put full stop. The Father did not even allow him to make the proposal to be hired servant. Read your Bible. Amen. That proposal died and rotten within him. Because the Father had better deals for all his sons and daughters. How can he conceive you as a son and you become a servant? It's not possible. Before he became prodigal, he was a son.
Amen.
Amen. Then a son became prodigal. He didn't change the fact that he was still a son.
Wow.
He only added prodigal to his name. Prodigal son.
Amen.
God can never change his mind about your sonship.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then when he realized himself, he became a son under realization. And by that realization, he became a repentant son. Hallelujah. Then he came home, he became an accepted son. And eventually became a restored son. One thing was common all the way, sonship. Amen. Son, prodigal, realization, amen, repenting, and restored. This is what God wants to make you. Amen. Come to the Savior tonight, make no delay. Then when you become a son, amen, you receive the kingdom of God in your heart. Whatever you want to be, he reveals it to you. You now have Christ in relationship on a personal basis. You are not coming by the testimony of your parents again. You have your own testimony. The kingdom of God will take a throne in your heart. And every blessings of the kingdom will start unfolding. And life will be worth it. And when that life finishes in time, it rolls into eternity and continues. Because what you drop in time is the body of flesh. The life, the Christ that has been formed in you can never die. It continues all the way. So that is your eternal investment. This is why God brought you here. And I hope and I pray that you will accept it. You will embrace it. So that life can be worth it all. God bless you.